Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Are we going to eliminate SARS-CoV-2? Sorry, no.
Mr. Secretary, I want to say to you right now, if you had integrity, you would resign.
Trans ideology claims dominion over nature itself. We can change the identity we were born with.
My time is very limited. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to drive to some clarity here.
Stop moving! Suspect down, suspect down.
Wow, still shocking watching that video yesterday, and so glad that the Nashville police have released it. I mean, not every agency is willing to do that. I think a lot of transparency and a lot of respect to the Nashville police for how they handled that, for those two officers who were clearly running toward the gunfire. And I think you can't get away from that at all. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you're with us this morning. We've got lots to cover. We still got Senator Josh Hawley who's going to join us live this morning at about 8:20. So stay tuned for that. We'll spend some time with him talking about his grilling yesterday of the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas and the complete disaster on the southern border. He and Ted Cruz had themselves a day with Mayorkas up there. And I'm going to play some of that for you here in a minute because I want you to hear this. It's pretty shocking stuff, actually, when it gets right down to it. So we're going to get Senator Hawley on here. He's got a bunch of stuff going on. But I also want to get his comments on this situation in Nashville, which we were just talking about a moment ago. Can someone explain to me why this crime in Nashville is not being called a hate crime against Christians? And why won't they release the manifesto? Who would be opposed to releasing the manifesto? It seems like a good question, right? Unless you're trying to protect the ideology of the shooter. It's not about glorifying the shooter. You need to get to the reason why this happened, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's the answer we're looking for. Why did this happen? But there's an effort underway by some groups who don't want you to determine that answer. Because if they do determine that answer, you will find out indeed this was a hate crime, I believe, and carried out by someone who's angry with a change in the law in the state of Tennessee. It seems pretty clear to me that had something to do with this, and that's kind of what they're worried about here. If you'll notice, there's a stark difference in how this shooting has been handled compared to other shootings. Because I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but I didn't see the rush to find out how other Christian schools are dealing with this fallout. Have you? Have you seen the media running to do that story? Do other Christian schools have security there? Have they looked at ways to protect other Christian students around the country if they're being targeted by this? That's not been the focus of any of this coverage so far. To me, that's worth part of the discussion. I went and found this story reported by KPRC down in Houston. And the entire focus of the story was not on the reaction of the Christian community or whether or not this was a hate crime targeted at the Christian community, which the police have insinuated. They said she had an issue with the fact that she was forced to go to this school. She lived in a home where the parents were very religious, and apparently she was rebelling. She, he, whatever you want to call her, I'll call her a she. She was a biological female. That's what the police are calling her. She was rebelling against that. We haven't seen the manifesto yet, but the police said that they had indications she planned to continue this shooting somewhere else, and even her own family members were included on her list of people. But what are they covering in reaction to this? This is the report, part of it, from KPRC down in Texas on who should be worried now after this shooting.
Now, with another reason for the Texas trans community to be in the spotlight and at least 2 months remaining of the legislative session, advocates worry the attacks aren't over.
You can't say that because one person did something that's a characteristic or reason to be cruel to trans people.
And tonight, while facts about the Nashville shooting are still surfacing, the Human Rights Campaign says trans people are much more likely to be victims of violence rather than perpetrators, writing in a statement, regardless of the reason for this shooting, the use of violence is reprehensible, and we renew our call for common sense gun safety legislation. In the newsroom tonight, I'm Bryce Newberry, KPRC.
Yeah, that's what the focus is. After the fallout of the shooting, not on the attack on the hate crime on Christians potentially, but how the LGBTQ community is reacting to it. And I found this interesting, and this is why I brought that up. There's a debate now on whether or not to release the manifesto. We talked about it earlier this morning with Eben Brown, if you've been listening to the show. Who's behind stopping the release of that? Well, Newsweek reports that it's the LGBTQ community. According to Jordan Budd, the executive director of the Children of Lesbians and Gays Everywhere, this is a group. The acronym is COLLAGE, Children of Lesbians and Gays Everywhere. You learn something new every week. There's a group called that. He told Newsweek it should not be published. The focus on how this was able to happen in the first place, that's where the focus should be. There should not be such easy access to deadly weapons. In other words, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Ignore the real thing that's going on here and just look at the screen. That's where the pressure is coming from, not to release the they think there are going to be serious consequences if there's a public release of the manifesto. This is a guy called Charles Moran, president of the Log Cabin Republicans. He says, while it would certainly give us insight into the motivations of this deeply troubled individual, we know from tragedies like this that additional glorification of the shooter could inspire others to take similar violent acts for attention. That's a distraction. Are you kidding me? Further, somebody named Laura McGinnis with PFLAG said that the contents of the manifesto don't change the outcome of the tragedy. Remember reading the Unabomber's manifesto? I mean, they release manifestos when they don't have an axe to grind. But in this case, they don't want you to know exactly how troubled this transgendered individual was, because it would distract from the narrative that we need to, that guns are bad. That's how the guns in this case have been described. I had to listen to Gail King on CBS this morning say it was only made worse by the type of guns that were used. Six people died. And that's a horrible, horrible tragedy. But a revolver holds six rounds. It's not the inanimate object that caused this problem. It was the deranged mind of the killer. And there's just no way around that. Let's get to our guest.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve Wood joining me this morning from the Heritage Foundation, senior advisor there. And Genevieve, you've heard my take here on the shooting in Nashville. It is a tragedy, but there is already a major effort underway to distract from the reasons. And I think part of the reason was a hate crime toward Christianity.
Well, Mark, I think you're spot on. And your senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley, as you may have seen, has already sent a letter in to the Senate saying he wants this investigated as a hate crime, because I think he was on to what you were just saying right now very early, which is, watch out, they're going to run from talking at all about any motivations here. They're going to want to just go straight to the gun debate, straight to what kind of guns were used, straight to how we need to find more laws, how we try to make schools safer, all those sorts of things. And I'm not saying none of that should ever be part of the discussion, but he's right. They're going to try to run from what motivated this person to walk in that school and kill six innocent people. What motivated them?
Yes.
And there's a reason we have hate crime laws on the books. And one of them is, it's not just killing somebody because you don't like their race. It's also religious affiliation. That's part of a hate crime. And I think you're right that this manifesto that we know about, we know some of it, the police have given us some information, but it has been, you know, thoroughly, obviously, released to the press or to the public. There's probably a lot more in there about that. And I'm not excited to read it. But we need to be, you know, every time you've got somebody of a different race killing somebody of another race, it's a hate crime, and oftentimes everybody rushes to that. Well, we need to talk about this scenario. We need to talk about this, you know, the fact that you don't like somebody who disagrees with you, or you don't like somebody who's of a particular religious persuasion. I mean, this is the kind of, you know, when I saw Trey Gowdy talking yesterday, and he had a very good point. Yes, gun crimes are going up. These mass shootings are going up over recent years.
Right.
But it's not because we have more guns in circulation. There's something wrong in our culture. And we just need to admit that and figure out how to deal with it. But it's not about passing more gun laws or, you know, trying to put up more bulletproof glass at schools. We've done a lot of that stuff, and it's not helping.
I agree.
That's not what not having bulletproof glass isn't why these children and these three adults at that school are dead today. It's because somebody walked in with a planned intent to kill people, either A, because they were Christians, because this particular person was claiming they were transgender. Maybe they believed the people at this school weren't supportive of that. But there was intent there that had nothing to do with a gun.
Amen. And here's the thing. I've never been a fan of hate crime penalties, which make the penalty for murder somehow worse, because yeah. I'm not convinced that it has any impact. I don't think somebody with hate in their heart stops and thinks, if I'm going to go commit this murder and I hate the person I'm murdering, which you would assume they do, or they wouldn't be murdering them, that might make them not do it. I don't think the enhancement of the penalty is a deterrent in these cases. And I've never been a fan of hate crime legislation in general. My point here is, if you're going to apply it in every other case where it's pretty obvious that the person was targeting a specific group, then it darn well better be used in this case as well, because I think there's plenty of evidence she was targeting the people in their Christian faith in that covenant school. And that's why I just want it to be treated fairly. And the mainstream media is not going to treat it that way. It'll be interesting to see if the prosecutors down there in Nashville treat it that way.
No, very well said, Mark. I 100% agree. The reason you decide to kill somebody, I know we have varying degrees of crimes of passion and so forth, but it doesn't bring anybody back, regardless of what your motivation was.
Right.
And I completely agree with you on the hate crimes piece. But I also completely agree that the reality is, if we're going to have them, and then we're going to apply them equally. We're going to apply them everywhere. We're not going to say, it's only a hate crime when a white person goes into a black church and shoots people, because that's a real hate crime. That was horrible, for example, what happened in Charleston several years ago. But then to say, but if a transgender goes in and shoots people in a Christian school because they're Christians and they don't like their stances maybe on homosexuality or transgenderism, that's not a hate crime. No. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
And just to hear what you were saying about Gayle King and some of these others on the left, the Log Cabin Republicans, whatever, you know, just quickly, you know, again, it's like it's never anybody on, quote unquote, their side who does something like this. It's always, you know, white, red hat wearing Trump people that do these kind of things. And that's who they want to show attention to. But if it's, you know, if it's, you know, it just goes back to, you know, all the looking at the BLM riots and the like and all the tragedy that occurred there. Those weren't prosecuted yet. January 6th is the worst thing that's ever happened in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, we just cannot have two standards of justice. And that's what, unfortunately, the left is really pushing in case after case.
I would agree. Genevieve Wood is my guest, senior advisor at Heritage. You know, you could make the argument that it's about tearing down the system when they approach things like that. And there's a great article on the Daily Signal about a nation committing suicide. And, you know, I don't know Star Parker personally, but I love the point that's made in this article because if you look at there's a poll out telling people, asking people how they feel about patriotism in America. Mm. The difference between when that poll first came out in 1998 and today is shocking.
It is shocking. And the editor-in-chief of the Daily Signal, Kate Trinko, had a piece there yesterday going through those numbers and showing you the kind of today versus 20 years ago. And you're right. I mean, it's things like, you know, is America a good country? What do you think, you know, is community life important? Is having children important? And, you know, those numbers have not all been tracking in the right direction for a few years. But the real decline, especially after COVID, Mark, I mean, there was already a decline, but that 2-year lockdown period really sent these numbers in a very bad direction. I mean, you can't be a society that thinks that way about yourself, that, you know, your country's not good, that inherently your community is not really important. This is kind of individualistic idea. It's not good. And we've got to really work to turn those numbers around. It's because it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the saying gun laws are the answer to everything. It's not just about winning a particular election. There's something wrong in the country in a host of different areas.
Sure.
And it goes to how we deal with, you know, Marco Rubio, senator from Florida, was speaking at Heritage yesterday about our problems with China. And one of the, you know, he gave a number of things that we had to look out for. But one is, like, how do we view ourselves as a country? Like, if you don't have the right view of yourself as a country, you're not going to take on your adversaries very well. If you don't think you're any better than anybody else, that, you know, your laws aren't any better than theirs, it just doesn't motivate people as a society to stand up to communist China, as an example. So this is not just numbers to kind of throw out there. This has real repercussions about how we deal with ourselves and how, you know, we act as citizens.
Yeah, no, you know, and here's the thing for people that haven't seen the poll, only 38% of Americans now say patriotism is very important, compared to 70% back in 1998 when this poll was first taken. That's a significant drop. There's no way to look at that and not think that our education system hasn't played a role in that, as we see them trying to constantly tear down America in the eyes of our children.
Well, a lot of people, 1998, that wasn't long ago. It was 25 years ago.
I know.
It's a lot longer than people think. And for 25 plus years, I mean, when, you know, a lot of kids haven't said a Pledge of Allegiance in a class in a long time. And we've been throwing it out of games. Prayer was gone a while ago. Pledge of Allegiance is now gone. And in replace of all that, it's not that those are just gone. They don't leave just a vacuum, as we well know. They've gone in trying to put in curriculum in schools that says how terrible the country is. That tries to rewrite the history or tell it in a different way. And that has real repercussions on what, you know, how you think, what you think determines, you know, to a great extent, how you act, what you believe. And they've been reprogramming our children in schools for many years now.
I had a rally last night that we hosted for the upcoming school board elections to get people fired up. And somebody came up to me after and said, you know what's missing in schools? Civics classes. When I grew up, we had civics classes where you were taught how government worked and what was important. And they don't do that. They don't focus on those things these days. And I it all plays a role in this.
It totally. Yeah. They do the opposite. They try to teach them how to tear it down. Not just like, here's how government works. It's like, here's how to tear it down. Maybe some kids, here's how to burn it down. I mean, they've really tried their best to indoctrinate our kids. I do think people are on to it. I think people are beginning to stand up. But it's going to take more people standing up, and it's not going to be over and done in 6 months. This has been a long, this will be a long war.
Well, I hope people go to the dailysignal.com and read that article on, it's entitled A Nation Committing Suicide. I mean, and it's depressing to see how far those numbers in Pride in America have dropped over the years. And you're right, 25 years is a very short period of time for that to have happened. Genevieve Wood, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, great having you on here. Great getting her point of view on this, senior advisor at Heritage. Ask your kids today. I mean, honestly, this is a constant battle. And if you're not fighting it at home, it's not going to happen. It's in the schools. These conversations are not going to happen. So it's making your vote next Tuesday all the more important on your school boards, for sure. And just understand, early voting is underway. I know in Missouri, no excuse, absentee ballot voting is underway right now. They've got remote locations set up in the county for sure. There may be in other counties, but I know for sure in St. Louis County, you can go vote today if you can't get out there next Tuesday. Whatever you do, vote. Senator Josh Hawley coming up. We'll talk more about this at about 8:20. We'll get him on here live. Next, Lieutenant Commander Joe Cardinale from the NYPD on why murders are going unsolved at a greater rate than in 40 years in America.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
When incidents like the one that happened today in Nashville, Tennessee, continue in America, we need to pass more reform to keep guns out of dangerous hands and to keep our children safe.
So that was Dick Durbin. I thought it was interesting the way he phrased that. We need to pass more laws to keep guns out of the hands of certain people. He didn't say he wanted new gun laws necessarily. Maybe Dick Durbin is starting to realize that the problem is a mental health problem because the girl's family admits they didn't think she should have a gun and they didn't know she had a gun. But they never put her in the mental health system, and the police had no idea. So, again, I don't know what the answer is, but passing more laws, she would have just broken those too because she decided to commit a criminal act. And how do you stop somebody who's done that? There's a lot to unpack in all of that. Joe Cardinale joining us right now. He's a retired lieutenant commander with the New York PD. We've had him on before. Joe, welcome back.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. What are your thoughts on this issue of what happened in Nashville? I mean, it's a tragedy. We see it happen all too often, and it's almost inevitable that at the end of the story, you find out the individual involved had serious mental health problems that were ignored.
Well, I give Durbin credit for choosing his words carefully rather than getting diarrhea of the mouth the way most of them do and stop blaming it on gun control. Okay, and the mental health issues in this country have manifested over the past 4 years to a point that they've gone unchecked in many areas. Now, I'm not buying the fact that the family didn't know she had a gun. You don't have long guns like this. You don't come and go in your house as you please and not know that they're in the house someplace, unless she's doing it covertly at nighttime and putting, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, if that's the case, then they need to revamp some of the laws when it concerns, you know, guns in the household. Never mind, because what if you're the person that's living in your basement is buying and stocking up guns? Don't you think that the person in that house should say, listen, by the way, these were purchased and they're in your house? So that goes by the wayside. But that being said, I just think that our schools and our houses of worship have become too soft of a target, and we need to revamp how we address them and make them hard targets. We saw what happened in Uvalde. This was the exact opposite with the police response.
Yes.
It was an excellent police response to a very sad, incident, you know, and a devastating incident for the community. All right. But the doors even being locked, she shot through the doors. So each incident has to be addressed accordingly. But I just feel that we've hemorrhaged enough money out of this country to other countries where we should stop putting it into areas like school safety and take it seriously and stop blaming guns all the time. But he's right. Blame the people that are behind the guns. That's the thing. And the mental health crisis comes into that scope, big time today.
I would agree. Retired Lieutenant Commander Joe Cardinale with us this morning. I saw this this statistic, and it kind of blew me away, about the murder clearance rate in America, that it's the lowest it's been in like 40 years. I mean, there was a time when we were clearing 70% of murders, and now it's down to 50% roughly. That's shocking.
It's astonishing, the number. That's a drop like you. I mean, it's unfathomable at times to think that you can get to these levels, but let's look at the state of affairs that brought us here. You had the defunding movement, which went across this country, and everybody accepted it and said, let's do it. We had the cashless bail. We have all these mitigating factors over here that just come into play when you have the same individuals out on the street committing the murders, and then you have depleted police forces that are doubling down with their duties. You have detectives that are going out on patrol because they can't, they can't sustain enough people in the department to handle each area.
Yes.
So the cases aren't going by the wayside by any means. It's just that they're just overworked for the staffing levels that they have. And when you have the same individuals out there that commit the violent crimes and they graduate to murder, all right, this is something that just adds to it. So the murder rate goes up and the case closure goes down. It almost becomes a cold case because they don't have the manpower to investigate them. And that's the last thing you want, is a cold case. You want to jump on these homicides as soon as they happen and give it the manpower it needs to solve it as quickly as possible.
Sure.
Before these individuals are in the wind.
Yep. St. Louis alone might be contributing to part of that number. We've got like 3,000 or 4,000 cases backlogged because our George Soros-backed prosecutor here in the city won't deal with it. She's got officers she won't deal with. I think that's just the tip of the iceberg around the country right now. When you look at the approach to prosecuting criminals, it's almost like it's criminal justice reform is justice for criminals.
Right. It's geared for the criminal, all these systems. Everything is geared for the criminal, not for the cops. You don't have that 1-2 punch you used to have where you brought the cases to a DA who would prosecute. And these DAs are not held accountable for civil liability, because if they were held accountable and you could sue them for negligence, all right, they'd be out of that office immediately, or they would do their jobs. but they walk around like, you know, like peacocks. And, you know, we're going to pick and choose what we're going to do. You know, society doesn't work like that. You need to hold people accountable for their actions.
Yeah.
You can't hold just cops accountable for their actions. You need to hold criminals accountable.
Amen. Lieutenant Commander Joe Cardinale, I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Anytime. You take care.
You bet. Good to get him on here. And a great point there. You can't just always point your finger at the police. Don't we know that, right? And he said you could sue if you could take him to court for negligence. Well, we're taking ours to court, the Attorney General is, for incompetence, basically, and negligence. We'll see how that works out. I'll keep my fingers crossed for that. Hey, when we come back, I mentioned earlier, Josh Hawley, our senator, and Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, absolutely eviscerated Alejandro Mayorkas yesterday on the floor of the Senate. I'm going to let you listen to that when we come back. We're actually going to talk to Senator Hawley live at around 8:20, but you have got to hear how they called him out on this porous southern border. We'll be right back.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mr. Secretary, my time is very limited. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to drive to some clarity here. The Texas Monthly has reported that once illegal immigrants go on their phone and reserve their time to come to the border, once they use your concierge service that you've created for them, when they come, they are given no interviews. They are asked no questions about any vulnerabilities. They are simply released into the country. Is that happening?
Senator, you are mistaken.
Josh Hawley was, I overused the term slack-jawed, but he was gap-mouthed yesterday. He couldn't believe what Mayorkas was saying to the United States Senate. They have evidence of this app that's been created, I have to assume, by the federal government that illegals can download to their phone and they can schedule an appointment to come into the country illegally. Does this make sense? They can schedule an appointment from the Mexico side of the border for 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, and then they show up at a regular border crossing, and the Customs and Border Patrol people slap them on the wrist and release them into the country. And he had a picture of it, and Mayorkas admitted that it exists, but all he could argue was that Senator Hawley didn't understand what it was for. And Hawley correctly described it as Ticketmaster for illegals. Hopefully it works better than the Taylor Swift Ticketmaster app did, right? But how do you get around that? I don't know. But Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley were having a ball with Mayorkas yesterday, because Mayorkas would not admit that the southern border is a disaster. Go to cut number 10, please, Carl.
In a sworn deposition in July of 2022, when asked, "Would you agree, Chief Ortiz, that the southern border is currently in crisis?" Answer, yes. Notice, none of those wiggle words, none of that equivocation. One word, one syllable, yes. Are you willing to speak with the same clarity as Chief Ortiz? Is there a crisis at our southern border, yes or no?
Senator, I'm very proud to work alongside.
But you refuse to answer. Let me ask you the next question. Has the crisis at our southern border made Americans less safe, yes or no?
Senator, we are dedicated to the safety.
Has the crisis made Americans less safe? I don't want a discourse. It's a yes or no question.
Senator, we have a challenge of.
You refuse to answer the question.
Not.
Mr. Secretary, let me show you how someone doing his job answers a question in a straightforward manner. Chief Ortiz, is the crisis that is currently ongoing at the southern border making the border less safe for Americans and aliens alike? Answer, yes. One word, one syllable, three letters. That's how someone answers a question and does their job. You're being a politician misleading the American people.
Wow. Cruz and Hawley both chewing him up yesterday and still didn't get a straight answer out of him. I don't know how you get around the fact that what's going on down there, but Ted Cruz said if he had any integrity, he would resign over what's going on in the southern border. And I could not agree with that anymore if I tried. I just have to tell you that. By the way, we are going to talk to Senator Josh Hawley live coming up here about 8:20. He was on last night with Laura Ingraham talking about the situation in Nashville. This is part of that.
This is a guy, this is an office that has the responsibility of leading this country. Children are dead. And can I just say to the parents out there that words don't begin to express the loss that you must be feeling. And as a parent myself, three small kids, I can't imagine. But I know that these parents, as believers, know that we don't grieve as those without hope, that we look forward to the day when these kids are raised again. But listen, this is a terrible, terrible tragedy. Biden should be acknowledging the targeting of people of faith. He should be saluting the law enforcement officers who put their lives on the line and saved hundreds of kids. But he should be saying, we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to call it for what it is, a hate crime, and we're going to do a full investigation and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, we will talk to Josh Hawley live at about 8:20. Stand by.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.